The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
The government has a whole load of climate targets to meet by 2030, for us to meet as well. Things that have been put into a couple of climate budgets to change, in some respects, the way that we live our lives, to be more conscious of carbon emissions, what it actually does to the global warming and the impacts that that has in itself. Well, our first guest is Stephen Tracy, Senior Scientist in the Emissions Statistics Section of the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Evidence and Assessment. So, Stephen Tracy, tell us a little bit about what's in this report that you've released today.
Hi. Well, the report we brought out today is our latest annual projections, greenhouse gas projections report. And what we're seeing in this report is that the projections indicate that Ireland would see a reduction in emissions by 2030 of 29% compared to the 2018 level. And we're comparing that against the national climate objective, which is a 51% reduction. So we're seeing that almost all sectors are on a trajectory to exceed their sectoral emission ceilings, which were brought in last year, including the agriculture, electricity industry and transport sectors. And overall, for the first two carbon budget periods, we're projecting that neither of them would be achieved. They would be exceeded by between 24 and 34%, depending on the two scenarios.
Stephen, would that be suggest, though, that a fair way of looking at this would be to say that we're doing well, but we're just not doing as well as we're required to do, because at a 29% reduction in emissions since 2018 is no mean thing.
Absolutely, and I think the thing to be aware of with the 29%, it's not coming from standing still, and this is something we've highlighted as well. So the projections are showing strong economic growth and underlying energy demand in them. So that 29% those measures have to first counteract the growth, as well as reduce emissions beyond that. So it's certainly a very significant emissions reduction.
Sorry, just to clarify that again, because the economy has been growing so strongly since 2018, that makes it more difficult, does it, to achieve the carbon emission reductions?
Well, there's a need to decouple emission growth from economic growth, and that's not always been the case. I mean, particularly in the period up to 2019, pre-COVID, we saw transport emissions increase every year as the economy increased. You know, and that was the two were coupled together, particularly freight transport. So, I mean, to actually get reductions as you're growing the economy and growing population is difficult and requires that kind of decoupling of emissions, which we did see in the past in the electricity sector as we moved to renewables, and hopefully we'll see again.
Okay, but just to clarify as well, we haven't hit the 29% yet. That's the likely amount by 2030, isn't it?
Well, that's the projection for our additional measure scenario, which is what brings in the measures that are in the Climate Action Plan 2023, with some exceptions which we can go into that we weren't able to model on this occasion. In terms of the existing measure scenario, which are those measures that are we consider implemented at this point, and so they would have funding and resources behind them, it's more like 11%. So we're really hitting on that point, that the need for urgent implementation of actions, including those that contribute to that 29%, really is where we're at the moment.
Sorry, just to clarify again, so if we do not nothing else, we'll only manage 11%. It's your expectation that we will do other things that'll bring us to 29%.
Yeah, it's really three points. We need to implement what's there. We need to firm up on some actions that are in the plan that we haven't been able to model yet, and make sure that we can implement those as well. And then there is still a remaining gap that needs to be met, and we expect would be looked at in future climate action plans, because we're in a cycle now of annual climate action plans as being part of this process.
But would that suggest that the 51% target for 2030 is just a nonsense, that we should ditch it, give up on it, because it's just not simply achievable?
No, I think it's feasible. I mean, the sectors, across all sectors, there needs to be an urgent action. That's what we're seeing here. And obviously, you know, plans will have to be adjusted as time goes on and gaps appear. But without implementing what we know now, we won't be in a position. The window is quickly closing, I guess, is what the IPCC has said.
Let me just give you an example, Stephen. I mean, there's been talk of 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2030, and there's no doubt there has been a strong pickup in the purchase of fully electric and hybrid vehicles. I think in the last month they were about 1/2 of all new car sales. But is it realistic to expect nearly 1 million electric vehicles to be on our roads by 2030?
Well, on the uptake of the electric vehicles, I mean, it's one measure of many here, and I don't think there's any question that it's the only one. But it is actually ahead of trajectory. So the trajectory that was projected to get it to nearly 1 million EVs by 2030 the sales are actually beyond that level at the moment. So obviously, the expectation is that the bulk of those sales will happen, and we'll be looking at almost all the sales vehicles being electric vehicles in the late 2020s. But where the projections anticipated we would be now on that particular measure, it's actually ahead of target.
Are we ahead of target in other things?
I think it's fair to say, for the most part, we're not, particularly in areas like electricity generation, where, you know, as a result of the energy issues over the last couple of years, we have seen a lot of a return to coal and heavy fuel oil use, which really does generate quite a lot of emissions for the amount of electricity being produced. So, no, not in all sectors, but there are items, there are glimmers of hope in places, yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Stephen Tracy from the Environmental Protection Agency. The Green Party's climate spokesperson, Brian Leddon, is with us now. Brian, thank you very much for joining us. Is the idea, when we hear this, that we're only on the way to doing, if other measures are introduced, a 29% reduction in emissions by 2030? Does that mean the idea of doing 50% or 51% by 2030 is pie in the sky, that we should ditch it to actually have a realistic target instead?
Hi, Matt. Well, it's definitely 51% is very ambitious. We would have acknowledged that at the outset when we set that target a few years ago. Notwithstanding that, 29%, when you look at the EPA projections, based on current policies and not all the current policies, the fact that we are on course for 29% actually is very positive. It shows that we're basically turning the ship around, starting to go in the right direction. There is a gap there. There's two gaps. There's the policies that we currently have that the EPA haven't modelled for, and then there's the gap. And that, by the way, would take us to about 42% cut based on the 2018 level. And then there's the gap between the 42%, assuming we do those extra policies that are in the Climate Action Plan do achieve the 42%. And there's the gap from there to 51% as well. So we are getting closer, and I would note that the projection this year is better than the projection last year. So every year with this process of annually revising the Climate Action Plan, we are getting better and better and closer to it. So, like for example, a lot of the measures that weren't measures, so the gap, say, between the 29% and the 42%, and I don't want to, bore listeners with numbers, but a lot of the big onshore and offshore wind development, for example, isn't included in the modelling.
Yeah, because there's no realistic expectation of getting these major offshore wind farms into production before 2030, is there?
They're really moving, and we had two big announcements this week. We had Simply Blue doing a big partnership with EDF, the big French state energy company, and just today, very positive news with the ESB doing a partnership with one of the biggest wind developers in the world, Ørsted. That was just announced this morning. So these are really big announcements.
Yeah, will they get through the planning process, though? Because we have, as we know, from housing and from various other things, we have a disastrous planning process which manages to hold everything up, and that even if we eventually do get to build these much-needed offshore wind farms, it could be after 2030 before it happens.
Planning has been a challenge in this country, and that's why we're reforming the Planning and Development Act, and that's actually going through the Houses of the Oireachtas as we speak. We had, with respect to the offshore wind opportunity, 2 weeks ago the offshore wind auction results were announced. Those projects are going to go for planning towards the end of this year. So if we don't get there by 2030, we're going to be very, very close with the offshore wind. And that isn't those emission cuts are huge, but they're not contained in these projections, nor are the land use changes. And this is very topical at the moment, the re-wetting of peatlands. Those emission savings and very significant. They could be 9, 10 or 11 megatons.
But again, that's assuming you get them done, Brian. Isn't there a massive kickback from a large element of the farming community against that idea? They don't want to do that to their land.
And the challenge for government is to navigate through this and get there, and that's what it's doing. And like nobody said this was going to be easy, and in fact, all change is very difficult, but I think the fact that even the EPA, which I think are conservatively saying, based on policies that they can model very accurately are saying 29%. We're saying that with other policies we can get much closer to the 51%. And there's a range of things that will come into play in the next couple of years. There will be new policies to be added, for sure. We do need system change in transport, for example, but we will also need to refine the policies that are already there and implement them. And Stephen is absolutely correct. We have to move from setting targets, setting policies, to implementation.
Well, let me come back to something else. You mean when we talked about offshore wind and the need for it. In the absence of it and enough onshore wind, we've ended up keeping the Moneypoint coal-fired station going beyond its closure date. We're still actually using more oil and coal than we should be. Why did we not just go ahead? Why did we not still go ahead with down in County Kerry with the LNG plant and bring in liquefied natural gas as a better alternative to those heavier fossil fuel burning activities?
Because we can ramp up renewable energy production, and we're going to ramp up renewable energy production to 80% of our annual demand by 2030. So LNG actually isn't going to help us there. I mean, even if we did go down the LNG path, it's going to be 5-6 years before any project like that would be delivered. Tarbert, which is the oil-fired station down in Tarbert, that's going to be closed this year. Moneypoint is on longer than we would like. We are building gas-fired backup generation around the country, which is basically going to be used in situations where we don't have the solar or the wind power. And that is all being planned and procured at the moment. And we will hit the 80%. I'm quite confident. And that is actually quite staggering. You know, we did hit the 40% target for 2020 in electricity generation, and nobody still really believed we could do that. And yet we did. And actually, we're the world leaders in renewable electricity generation. 80% is a very big ask, because it's double the 2020 target. But I have confidence in our engineers, in Airgrid, and all the players in the system that we will hit the 80%.
Okay, it'll be doing our bit for the planet, but will it actually help reduce people's bills?
I think it will, because you can see the market price of the wholesale market price on the days that you have high renewable energy goes down. And when you don't have high levels of renewable energy, it goes up. So the more we build renewables are the cheapest form of energy now. And that's not just in Ireland, that's across the Europe. So bills will eventually come down, yes.
We'll see. But Brian, what about electric vehicles? Are we really going to get to, what is it, 1 million electric vehicles by 2030, or this new figure which seems to be 940,000? Is that actually viable, that we will get to those levels as replacements for petrol or diesel cars?
Well, interestingly, a couple of years ago, I would have said it's neither achievable nor desirable. But as Stephen said just there a few minutes ago, actually, we're ahead of target on electric vehicle rollout. But really, we need to look at system change in transport. It's not all about electric vehicles. And the OECD issued or published a very important report last October where they said, yes, EVs have a role, but actually we need to reduce the need to be driving around the place. And that is really about investing in cycling networks, walking networks, public transport as well. And we can do this. We can change how we do transport. And other countries are better than us at that. And we need to learn from them and do it here.
Okay, but sorry, still though, do you think we'll get to 1 million electric vehicles? Or are you saying that, particularly in rural Ireland, that are people going to be cycling or getting public transport rather than bothering with any car?
Well, in the rural public transport is coming on hugely. Like, I get incredible feedback based on the new rural bus routes that we've put in all around Limerick and Clare. They are really making a difference to people's lives. What we need to strive, we have a Connecting Ireland programme, which is really ambitious, but we're pushing towards what would be called an every village, every hour system of level of service for public transport. And that is really attractive. So that's public transport for people who can afford cars, but the service will be so good that they will choose to use public transport instead. As Stephen said, we're ahead with the electric vehicle rollout, and in our urban areas we are making huge progress with the rollout of active travel networks. So that's the walking and cycling networks and indeed local public transport infrastructure as well.
I'll put it out to our listeners, 0874100102, for your last words. Thank you very much, Brian Ledden from the Green Party TD in Limerick.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.